Dr. Robinson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nathaniel, and good afternoon to your listeners as well.
Thank you very much for joining us. Well, how exactly do these polls work?
Well, it's a matter of attempting to find a random sample of voters. Now, the belief is that if you get a correct number of voters, you will get a fairly accurate reflection of, well, what public opinion is at the time. And of course, some problems there include, well, just because public opinion says something at one point in time, does it necessarily mean that people are going to do that at the election? Secondly, and perhaps more importantly, I think there's the issue, of course, of getting a representative sample of voters. And I suspect that what may have occurred in this case is that the people who were answering opinion polls were somewhat unrepresentative of the broader voting public, and this is perhaps a real problem going forward into the future with opinion polling.
Right. Why did the polls predict that the opposition would win?
Well, because when a sample of people was asked, obviously votes were calculated. Neither Labor nor the Coalition were anywhere near a majority of the vote. Assumptions were then made about the preferences of the minor parties, which actually turned out to be fairly accurate. There was some discussion during the campaign of whether or not the correct assumptions were being made about, say, One Nation and United Australia Party preferences. But the problem was that the sample of people who were answering poll questions seemed to include a lot more Labor voters than the electorate. And I think that fits the hypothesis, perhaps, that there's a contingent of politically disengaged people out there who aren't answering opinion polls, but when they actually had to vote, they potentially skewed fairly strongly against Labor. That much being said, I mean, Labor's position was never overwhelming. It was always within the kind of range where you would have said the Morrison government was probably going to lose, but it certainly wasn't a certainty. But it was a bad performance for the polls. I mean, on some indicators, perhaps their worst performance in 40 years in Australia.
Because it was quite wrong in the end, and there was that skew, as you're mentioning, to Labor voters. Do you think we can, in the future, keep trusting the news polls?
I think to a large degree they're the only thing that we have, and I think they're certainly more reliable than field opinions. I noticed some people are citing, well, I felt there were problems, but other people were saying, well, I feel there are no problems at all. But what would be good, I think, if polling companies in Australia could agree on having some kind of inquiry and review of what went wrong, and if they committed perhaps to publishing more of their raw data as well. Because I think one of the problems is that there's the raw data, increasingly assumptions have to be made about how you interpret that data, and those assumptions are often fairly untransparent. I mean, a lot of commentators suggested, I think correctly, that there was some evidence that poll outcomes were being massaged to a degree to come out in a kind of safe figure, rather than taking any risk. You know, the kind of safe figure was this 51-52% Labor vote. That might have been less likely if the kind of raw data had been available so that different analysts could use them. And in Britain, where they had a similar poll fail back in 2015, polling companies, you know, committed to a kind of fairly open inquiry about what had gone wrong. It would be good if something like that happened in Australia, I think.
So do you think we can still trust them going into the future?
I think they're the only thing that we have, but I think that obviously people will have learnt from this. I mean, it's an unusual story because they certainly understated Labor's vote, but for example, in the Victorian election, they understated the Liberal vote. And whether or not this is perhaps a matter of, you know, fairly loosely attached voters breaking fairly decisively one way or the other towards the end of the campaign and so on is something that we don't really know. So, you know, as I said to my students, I mean, managing public opinion is a bit like measuring a cloud. It's very difficult. So it's worthwhile doing, but we should be aware of the potential problems with it, I think. A lot more aware, I think, than people were during this campaign.
And I guess it really does go back to the old, you know, Daz, you can't predict the future, can you? So no matter how many opinion polls you do, you'll never know the answer until you wait till the election day.
Well, that is completely true. I mean, yeah, opinion polls aren't a TARDIS that, you know, travels you magically to election day. They're just some evidence you can draw on to try to guess what's going to happen in the future. But it is an assumption. It involves lots of assumptions. And the manner, perhaps, in which polls were reported, I think should have made that clearer. Perhaps those people in the political parties knew it, but it was interesting that didn't seem to be the assumption of the broader mass of commentators.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who does actually take over from Labor in the future, but I won't be paying attention to any opinion polls about that, though. Dr. Robinson, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Nathaniel.
Thank you.